You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
But we're concluding the series about when questions are answers. How many of you enjoyed the series so far? That's three of you. Hallelujah. I just believe it's such an exciting series because it's really about Jesus. It's really about what he did for every single one of us. And so, our goal in this whole series was for us to have a deeper understanding and appreciation of the person and work of Christ, resulting in greater faith and dependency in God. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about our faith in God and our dependency in God. Everything else can be stripped away, and those are the two things that we need to hold on to. And so over the last few weeks, let's just recap. We looked at what do you say I am? Why are you so afraid? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And today I want to speak about, do you want to get well? And so it's about, do you want to get well? And so let me just paint a picture and a little backdrop of how can we receive healing from God? You know, I think one of the realities of life, and if you look at church history, there have been so many different groups of people who taught different things. And there were people that went around many, many years ago that said, if you don't get healed, you've got no faith. Or if you don't get healed, there's sin in your life. Now, there might be an element of truth in all of that because Jesus could not perform miracles in some place because the people didn't have faith. And so, but people just made people feel so guilty about certain teachings because of they couldn't get healing. So I just want to paint a picture of what the Bible says about how can we receive healing from God. We need to know that God is sovereign. So as we look at the text today and as we go through life, God is sovereign. In other words, God can do what he wants to do. Isn't that right? And so he's sovereign over all the earth. Also, we know that God is powerful. You know, God can take something that's impossible and make it possible. In our minds, you know, one thing I've learned in life as I've walked this earth is that our minds are so finite. We think we know it all, but guess what? We know very little because of our minds. But when we look at God and God being all powerful and almighty, all things are possible with God. Lastly, God heals, and it's part of his plan. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, died for all sickness, all disease, everything that you've going through or will go through. Jesus died on the cross. And so healing is part of God's plan for our lives. One of my favorite scriptures that I quote almost every day, because life sometimes is not easy. How many of you know that? Sometimes life can be so tough. And even as a Christian, and often I think to myself, well, you know, I'm a pastor. You know, surely life should be a little bit easier. Guess what? Sometimes life is tough for all of us. And this is, I don't know what happened there. Hallelujah. Let me go back one. Actually, there we go. Romans 8:28, it says, but we know that all things God works for good of those who love him, have been called according to his purposes. God takes all things. The all things in life is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Every situation you go through or will go through, God takes all things, and he wants you to be dependent upon him and have faith in him, and he shapes and molds who we are today. You know, friends, if you look at me today, I have gone through so many things in my life. But guess what? Through it all, God's grown me. And I know he loves me. And I know he cares for me. And so let's go to our text for today, found in John chapter 5 and verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 1. This is what it says. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is Aramaic is called Bethesda, which surrounded by five covered colonnades. Now colonnades are just pillars, five round pillars that kept up a structure. Now the word Bethesda means house of mercy. Let's continue. Here is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Now, friends, in some translation, John chapter 5, verse 4 is not there. It goes from verse 3 to verse 5. And this is because, as you see up on the screen, this is missing because it's not in the oldest manuscripts. And some translations, recent translations, don't include it in the text. And in some of the Bibles, it adds it as a little note for you to read. And this is what the note says. It says, "And they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come, stir up the waters. The first one into the pool, and after such disturbance, would be cured of whatever disease they had." Verse 5. "One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus saw him lying there, learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked." Now I don't know how you read the Bible, but when I read the Bible, I try and put myself actually into the story. Try and live it. Try and visualize it. So I want you to try and picture the pool of Bethesda. Okay, and there wasn't just one person there. There might have been hundreds of people that were sick. They were lying, they were lame, they were blind, they were deaf, they were paralyzed. They were all sitting around that particular pool. And here comes Jesus into the situation with hundreds of people around the pool, and he notices one man. He saw this invalid. Friends, I want to encourage you. You know, that pool was known as the House of Mercy. Where we are gathered here this morning, this is the house of God. This is the house of mercy. And I believe that this morning, Jesus is walking around and he notices every single one of you. He sees you. He's looking right at you. And just like he said to the blind man, "Do you want to get well?" Sorry, to the invalid, "Do you want to get well?" He's saying exactly the same to every single one of you. He's walking around and he's saying to you this morning, he notices you, he sees you, and he says, "Do you want to get well?" You know, friends, I really believe there are people in this church family this morning that you are not well physically. There's some of you not well emotionally, the others mentally and also spiritually. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, "Do you want to get well?" What a powerful, powerful picture of what Jesus could see. The incredible thing is the invalid didn't know that it was Jesus. He didn't know it was Jesus. And this is what his reply was. And he said the following, "Sir," you see, he didn't know it was Jesus. He said, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You know, friends, in John chapter 20, verse 30, it says that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in the book. And these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You know, when we look at this particular story, there are so many miracles that are not recorded in the Bible. But when we read it, it's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus can do for us. and your relationship with God. That's the most important thing. And so the question is, how can we receive healing from God? And I'm so glad you asked me that question. How can we receive healing? How many of you want to know that? All right, some of you, do you have arms? How many of you want to receive healing from God? All right, I want you to listen. Let's go to the scriptures. Number one is faith in Jesus. Say that with me. Faith in Jesus. You see, friends, Jesus challenged the man. He challenged him, do you want to get healed through the real source of healing? You see, this invalid had a choice. He had a choice. Am I going to get healed? Because I'm sure the invalid thought, well, yes, a man is going to throw me in the waters. As the waters become turbulent, he's going to throw me in. I'm going to be the first one to get healed. Or is he going to look at Jesus, the Savior of the world, who can heal him at that very moment? You see, friends, your healing either is going to come through the waters, the house of mercy, or from the God of mercy, being Jesus Christ. You see, friends, so many people in the world today go and try and look for the waters of Bethesda for their healing. People will travel. If they hear of something, there's some magical water in this place, they will save up all their pesos in order to go and jump into some river or put some water on their forehead or do something. Or they hear about this particular man who might have this kind of thing, and they run after every whim in order to try and get their healing instead of coming to Jesus, the mighty healer. Friends, how many of friends that you know will travel to this place or that place? You know, New Zealand's got wonderful water, but there's no healing power in the water. There's only healing in the name of Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. When we truly understand there's a choice every day you and I make, we're faced with a choice. Are we going to do it God's way or are we going to do it the world's way? And this is a situation that the invalid faced. Jesus, are you going to throw me in the water or are you going to be the mighty healer? The second thing we pick up in the story is faith in his word. I love this. You know, Jesus' word is simple yet powerful. His word is simple yet powerful. This is what he said to him. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Say those three words for me. Now, picture the scene. I really want you to get a hold of this. Here's this invalid lying for 38 years. He's been in that condition. And here comes this strange man who he doesn't know. The Bible said he didn't know that it was Jesus. And all of a sudden, the strange man asks him the question, do you want to get well? The invalid replies, and now this man called Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. What would you do? How would you react? You've been an invalid for 38 years. Now, I thought I would demonstrate it to you, but I'm scared if I get onto the carpet, I might not get up. But picture it. Just this man who's been in this condition 38 years, all of a sudden he starts to move because people have been helping him for 38 years. But you see, faith in the words of Jesus does something to you. Faith in what you hear. And Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when the words of God, you hold on to that and you hold on to the promises, something begins to move that you are able to get up. Imagine what he thought when he got up. And he thought, wow, this is like amazing. I haven't done this for 38 years. And then he remembers Jesus says, pick up your mat. And he'd have to bend down and pick up his mat. And he's got his mat under his arm. I wonder what he would do. And there might have been just like a Holy Ghost shuffle a little bit. But the Bible says that he started to walk. That is faith in the Word of God. Friends, do you know the word of God for your life? Do you know the promises of God for your life? Because that's what it's about. You see, friends, the spoken word of God in prayer, in a prayer of faith, is powerful. It's powerful. If we know the word of God, and the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it'll set you free from your situation if you would truly believe and depend on God. You know, I can give you testimonies from around the world. And I mean, you can Google miraculous testimonies. People who've had miraculous healings. In Africa, people have been raised from the dead. You know, people's limbs started to grow. Blind people are seeing. Deaf people hear. People have been delivered from cancer. And I mean, you know, I mean, but I don't want to share other people's stories. I want to share my story. I want to share personal testimonies. Just two personal testimonies from my own life. Do you know, when my wife and I got married, 3rd of July, 1982, we're coming up for 32 years of being married. Galeng? Sobra goes panalo. Okay. You know, after 5 years, and my wife could never take any precautions purely because it affected her health. And so we lived life normally. And after 5 years, when she went for a medical checkup, her gynecologist said, couldn't believe that she wasn't pregnant. And so after a series of tests that they did, they said to her, you will never fall pregnant unless you have medical intervention. Now, if you know my wife and I, we love children. We, I mean, we were both school teachers at the time. And for us, this was devastating news because, like any couple, they want to have children. And so she embarked upon a treatment at an infertility clinic in Cape Town, South Africa. You know, after 6 months, we prayed, we quoted the scriptures, we fasted. You know, faith without works is dead. We had to do everything we could do. And after 6 months of treatment at the clinic, there was still no result. And the possibilities of multiple births were very high because of the treatment that she was on. And it was really taxing on her body, you know, physically, but also emotionally. And I could just possibly hear the words saying, you know, Bernard, do you want to get well? Do you want to have children? But we had faith and we stood in faith. We trusted the word of God and we knew that God was going to come through for us. And during the 7th month, I said to my wife, I think we should call the elders of the church to come and pray for us. And I remember clearly them coming to our home and they lay hands on us, anointed us with oil, and they prayed and really like called the fire from heaven down. And we just prayed. I mean, it was really a faith-filled time of prayer. It was 10 months later, my wife fell pregnant. And 9 months after that, my daughter was born. And you know what? My daughter today is lives with us in Christchurch, New Zealand. She's a school teacher. She's a worship leader. She's a songwriter, gifted musician. You know, I often thought, and Pastor Lee and I were talking earlier, I often thought if we didn't persevere, we would not see and have what we got today. If we gave up and said, this is too hard, and say, okay, Lord, all right, just relax. We will just continue living. We would not be where we are today. And now the next thing is I'm waiting for grandchildren. Hallelujah. But you know what? You know, 9 months after my daughter was born, I said to my wife, you know what? I really would love just one more. Just one more. And so she went back to the clinic. They started her on the same treatment. And halfway through the treatment, they called us in and said, we forgot to tell you, this clinic is now private. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And I said to my wife, look, we don't have the money in the bank, but we've got one shot, 1 month treatment. I phoned all my friends. There was no texting or Facebook or Twitter during those years. And so I had everybody that knew us pray. We stood in faith. We trusted God like crazy. And my wife fell pregnant and my son was born first month of treatment. You see, friends, miracle. Yeah. Miracle. Yes, you can give the Lord a hand. Miracle. You know, today, he's a high school teacher in Cape Town, married. And he teaches biological sciences. And I often think to myself, if we gave up, maybe the cost was too high. And we said, all right, we can't do this treatment anymore. Let's stop. Where would I be today? So glad we held on. We pushed through. We did not give up. Do you know what? We were so blessed with our little girl and boy. We decided just to live life normally. One day my wife turns to me when she woke up one morning and she said, darling, I think I'm pregnant. I said, what? Did you go to the clinic without telling me? And you know, she fell pregnant without any medical intervention. My third son was born. You see, friends, let me tell you something. When you hold on to the promise of God and you don't give up, when he asks you today, do you want to get well? Be honest with him and hold on to and don't give up. You have to depend on God and have faith in God, because all things are possible with God. All things. Don't think your problem is too big or too small. All things are possible. One last testimony. 1992. I had depression. I don't know how many of you have ever had depression. Mine was not a chemical depression. Mine was self-induced depression. And if you ever want to know what depression is like, I want you to look at the following slide. Because this is what depression was like for me. Black. Dark. It was like being in a dark hole. And it was like the world was coming upon you and crushing you. And the easy way out was to take your life. During that time, praise God for me, it was only 3 months. I became suicidal. I thought the easy way out is just to take my life. My wife would be better off. My children would be better off without me. But praise God, I had a wife who prayed, who was totally dependent upon God, who trusted God for my breakthrough. And I remember clearly coming out of that situation, and climbing out of the black hole. And I remember saying the following to God. I said, Lord Jesus, every day is a blessing from you. Every day. I never take a day for granted. Every day. I thank God for today. Because tomorrow I might not be here. Every day I thank God for. The second thing I confessed was, Lord God, I'm going to enjoy every day that you bless me with. I cannot blame anybody else for my enjoyment. Because I choose to be happy. I choose to enjoy. I choose to have fun today. I can't blame Pastor Lee and say, well, you're not making me happy. It's not his job to make me happy. Amen? I choose to enjoy today. Yesterday, I chose to be with 50 young people in Cavite playing sports. Volleyball, basketball, my entire body is aching today. But I enjoy the aches because of what I enjoyed yesterday. You see, let's enjoy life, friends. God's blessed us with life. And so Jesus asks the question. He asks the question. He waits for our answer and our faith in him and depends. And he gives us commands and he wants you to be obedient. And friends, very simple. Jesus asks you today, do you want to get well? He asks you today the same question he asked the invalid. Do you want to get well today? Do you want to get well? You see, I believe there are four areas that you need to be well in. It's physically, it's mentally, it's emotionally, and it's spiritually. And I believe that there are people here this morning, you're in physical need of getting well. But I also believe there are people who mentally are really struggling in their thoughts. There are people here who are emotionally in pain. And I believe there are people here spiritually far from God. That God says, do you want to get well? Lastly, Number three is faith to obey. Our faith is in Jesus. We have faith in his words and we hold on to his words. And faith to obey. Let's have a look at what the invalid did. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." If we look at that passage of scripture, it really gives us an indication that the invalid was well in his earlier years on this earth. Something happened, there might have been sin in his life that caused him to be an invalid. That's why Jesus said to him, "Now, stop sinning. Stop sinning. Otherwise, something worse will happen to you." And so, friends, I want to say to you this morning, you know, very often in life when God intervenes and he heals you and he does something, it must bring about a change in your life. It should draw you closer to God and that you have a lifestyle change. So when God brings healing, he's saying to you, "All right, now you need to change your lifestyle." You see, very often people want the healing, but then they go back and do all the sinning. And we have to change. It should change for the better. When I came out of depression, let me tell you something. I have drawn closer and closer to God. I brought about a change in my lifestyle, and I made sure my foundations are strong in him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Often during my earlier stage of being a Christian, I was so busy doing the Lord's work, I actually forgot about the Lord. You know, we can get so busy doing, we forget the connecting with Jesus and that relationship with him. Are you with me this morning? Galang. And this is what it says in John 5, verse 15. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the only time in the temple he knew it was Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him." You know, friends, it all boils down to what Jesus did on the cross. It's that finished work on the cross. What Jesus did there for us impacts our lives today. Because it's about Jesus. It's about his word. And it's about obeying his word. It's very simply put. Friends, Jesus is the great healer. Jesus is the great healer. And the question is, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And I'm not going to ask you to stand now, but I want you to close your eyes where you are. I want you to imagine this is the house of God. And you are in the house of God. And Jesus is walking around just like he saw the invalid. He sees you today. He sees you. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. And he's asking you, do you want to get well? And friends, what is your response? You see, even though he knows everything, he wants you to reply. Friends, I believe there are people here that are physically not well. I believe there are people here that emotionally, you struggle in your emotions. God needs to bring healing. I believe people spiritually need a touch from God. You've drifted from God. And mentally, you struggle to think in your thought life. I want to pray for you. Just like Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. If that's you this morning, I want you to get up and stand at your seat so I can pray for you. That's the instruction that Jesus gave the invalid. Get up. That's you this morning. I want you to get up. If you need physical healing, if you need me to pray, maybe emotionally things are not right, mentally, spiritually, it'll be a real honor and a privilege for me to pray for you. The question is, do you want to get well? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. The people, don't look around. There are people standing all over the auditorium. Don't be embarrassed or shy. Nobody's going to ask you what you need prayer for. This is between you and God. And as you stand, as Christ asks you the question, do you want to get well? In your heart, you tell Him. You tell Him, I need physical healing. You tell Him, I need my emotions healed. You tell Him, I'm depressed. You tell Him, I'm struggling in this area. You tell Him. Is there anybody else before I pray? Friends, please, this is not to embarrass you. This is for you. This is for you. This is for your healing. This is for your breakthrough. Hallelujah, Lord. There's still people standing. I believe there's such a sense of God's presence here. And I don't want to rush it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I want you to raise your hand as a sign of surrender and say, Lord, here am I. I'm just like that invalid. You see, friends, the amazing thing about the invalid, he didn't know it was Jesus, but he obeyed. How much more? We know Jesus, we need to obey. We know Christ, we need to obey. Father, I thank you for these precious people. Lord, just like you asked the invalid, do you want to get well? Father, these people want to get well. Lord, you know everything about them. You know their situation. You know their circumstances. You know the struggles. You know, Lord God, what they've verbalized and articulated to you right now. I pray, Almighty God, just for a touch from your throne in a powerful and a real way. Bring healing, bring restoration in their lives by the power of your Spirit, Lord God. I thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that brings life and light in our lives. Bring healing right now. Bring healing right now. In Jesus' name. Friends, can I ask you all to stand? If you need prayer physically, you need physical healing. Physical healing. Can you make your way out? I want to lay my hands and pray for you. If you need physical healing, come out to the front. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Physical healing. Just come to the front. We're going to stand in faith and trust God for physical healing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And if there's some victory group leaders that want to stand behind them, lay hands on them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you can just come here, I want to make sure I lay hands on you. If you can make your way here, thank you. Hallelujah. The rest of you, if you could just stretch your hands forward to these precious people, and let's trust God. We've just had a message on do you want to get well? We're going to trust God for the power and the manifest presence of God to touch people's lives here. Lord, I thank you for these precious people, Lord. Lord, we serve you, Lord God. You are Jesus, Lord God. You are the mighty healer, Lord God. And so, Father, I just pray for a mighty touch from your throne, Lord God. Oh, Father God, I just pray, Lord God, just as you spoke the word and you healed people, Lord God, I pray for healing and I speak healing in these people's lives, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, that blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord God, I pray, Father, for your blood to begin to flow and fall afresh, Lord God. Father, whatever these precious people are trusting you for, Lord God, I just pray for a touch. Oh, yes, Lord God. Healing touch, Father. Healing touch, Lord Jesus. Healing touch, Lord God. Father, we are people of faith and we look to you, Lord God, as the mighty healer, Lord. And we pray, Father, just for a touch from your throne. We're going to hold on to every single word, Lord God. every single word, every promise. Lord God, when you said you'll bind up the brokenhearted, you're going to set the captive free, Lord God. And so, Father, I pray and I speak healing, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Friends, while you got your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give an opportunity for people to get well with God spiritually. You know, I don't know you at all, but I believe that there are people here that you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I believe there are people here that you've drifted far from God. And today God is saying to you, get up, pick up your mat and come back to the cross. And if that's you this morning, while you got your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand over the auditorium. Let me see your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, if that's you, raise your hand so I can see. There are a number of people that have raised their hands. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Can you make your way out and meet me on my left-hand side there? Please, I want to pray for you. Just make your way out. If you want to make right with God, this is your moment. This is your moment today. This is your moment of making right with God. May this be when you are paralyzed by the devil, that God's going to say to you, get well, get up, pick up your mat and start walking. I've got a new plan. I've got a new purpose. I've got a new destiny for your life. If that's you, just make your way to my left here. I want to pray for you. If you've put up your hand, I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is this the group over here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know what? The most important thing is to surrender to God. There's such a sense of the anointing and the presence of God in this place. God is doing a work in people's lives. Isn't that exciting? For those of you making right with God, can you just look at me? I'm not too sure where you are, but I think it's here somewhere. Can I just say to you, as a spiritual dad, I'm so proud of you. This is the best decision you will ever make in your life. This is even a better decision than who you're going to marry one day. Because this decision affects your destiny and eternity. And so I want to say to you, I'm so proud of you. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask the entire church, if you could pray along with me. It's really a prayer of just inviting Christ into their lives. And just a way of encouragement, can everybody pray the prayer? So let's pray together and say the following. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent, Lord Jesus, of my sins, of my past. I invite you now to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Make me a brand new person right now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you for these precious people. I pray that you would seal this decision by the power of your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? Hallelujah, Lord. Woo! Come on. Banalo. Let me pray for you all. Father, I thank you for every single person here. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your word, Lord God. May we always be people that has our dependency and our faith in you and your word. Lord, may we always encounter that experience when we are obedient to God's word to pick up our mat, get up, pick up our mat, and walk. May there be so many testimonies coming from this, from these people, Lord God, of your goodness and your faith, where people will be walking again in the spirit, physically, mentally, and emotionally. We love you, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.